Test 1 2 3. You guys can hear me? Okay, perfect. Let's see which in the presentation to start. Perfect. Hello, and thanks for coming to this session. I'm gonna try to keep in a place in the room. I know we're very spread out, and I'm not that tall. I'm sorry. So, and they have these things in front of me, so I'll try to do my best. They told me to kind of stay in this area. So, my name is Mario Rodriguez. I am Program Manager in Team Foundation Server. I started at Microsoft back in 2002, actually in the Xbox division, playing games for a living, which was very nice coming out of college, especially because they pay you to do that. So then after that, I went to TFS to ship the first version of TFS, and I worked in version control. And then after that, I decided to go deeper and really concentrate on what we were calling back then scale out or cloud, the beginning of cloud, more or less. And that's what I've been doing in the last 4 years or so. It's really transitioning what we call today Team Foundation Server into Team Foundation Service. And that's what we're going to be talking about today. This is where you could reach me. My email is mariorod@microsoft.com, and then my Twitter handle is @mariorod1. If you want to tweet to me, leave me nice or mean comments, that's okay. So that's where you could get me. Let's actually, and this is just saying that that's where I work in cloud services. And before we actually go and begin telling your story, let's do a quick demo, since I want this session to be interactive in the sense, because there's probably a lot of questions that you guys have. And I do have some demos planned to give you an idea of what it is. But I want to make it more interactive, so you could ask me questions throughout, and then I'll answer it throughout, because I'm pretty sure that with the size of this room, there's a lot of questions in the audience. So again, the chat is really about Team Foundation Service, and it says getting started with Team Foundation Service. And I'll show you how easy it is to actually do that. So here's, tell me if this resolution is better than this one. You want that one or you want this one? Which second is this? Okay. This is going to be fun then, because we're going to be really zoomed in into the experiences of it. So here's tfs.visualstudio.com. That's where you could go today to sign up for the service. You get information on the welcome page about what is the service all about, what are the features, what are the news. And you could always follow our blog and Brian Harris' blog to get that information. But from over here, all you have to do is say sign up for free. And yes, it is free right now. It's going to ask you to enter an account URL. And in this case, we are going to put, let's say, BLDWin13. Hopefully, no one has taken that one yet. You hit create account. It's going to ask you to authenticate if you're not already authenticated. And then after that, it's going to bring you to this screen that says creating your account. It should take more or less 10 seconds tops. And there you go. And that's my talk. That's how you get started, pretty much. Thank you for coming. It was really easy, right? Compare that to installing Team Foundation Server, the on-premise product, which is not that bad. I did it yesterday around 5 o'clock in under 15 minutes, I think. And I did have to install SQL Express. So they're both very easy to install. But this is really, really easy to get up and going. Not only that, you could start adding people right away, and we're going to show you that as well. So I'm going to make a decision here. It says new team project, and this new team project can either be what we call TFVC, or Team Foundation Version Control, or it could actually do new team, whoops, that's not what we wanted to go to, huh? Or it could actually be a Git project. I did a presentation today in the morning about Git, and I won't go and retell that presentation, but essentially what you can take away from it is that we now support in 2013 the ability to actually host a Git repo within a Team Foundation Server deployment. So you could create a project either with the centralized version control system that we have always have had that you love or hate, or you could actually create it now with a distributed version control system, which is Git. Another thing is, it's 100% Git. It's true Git. It's not Microsoft Git, and it's not Team Foundation Git or Visual Studio Git. It's Git, okay? Meaning you could connect to it from any client that talks Git, And then you could actually get it and push it to someone else if you want to go to any of the competitors. So that's that. So that's the choice that you're seeing right there. And you're going to have to make one. Let's go and say I'll pick TFVC for right now because I have another project with it. And we'll call it and say demo one. This is a great demo. And then over here, you're going to have to make a choice. And this one is hard for those people. Actually, two of the choices are easy. The other one, I don't know who chooses it anymore. But there's Scrum. So if you like Scrum, you embrace Scrum, then you're going to do that. Then there's the people that do not like Scrum, and but they're agile, right? So you actually use agile. Then the last one is CMMI, which is something that it's used in places where you require a lot of paperwork. That's the way that I would call it. I mean, I have nothing against CMMI, but I do have, it's impossible to use at times. But so I'm going to choose Scrum just for this demo. And then over here, for example, we allow you to change it in case you got it wrong. But like I said, so we're going to do that, create project. It's going to go and say, hey, I'm going to schedule the team project creation. For those of you that are wondering, what does that mean? It actually means there's a job agent in the background. So imagine there's five little machines just sitting in there and trying to see, okay, what's the next thing that we should be doing? So there's a job agent in the background and it's just trying to pick up jobs that get scheduled. Creating project is a job and it gets scheduled and it gets picked up by one of these machines. It executes it and then it creates your project. So should take usually takes around 15 to 20 milliseconds to pick up a job unless things are really, really busy, which is okay. Then it takes a little bit longer. And then after that, it's just running through the normal create team project. As you can see over here, we do not allow customization of the project template. You get three choices. You get only those three choices and only those three choices. You're not allowed to customize fields or anything like that. We do that mainly, one, for security reasons, at least at this moment. And two is so like that we could actually service the product very efficiently as well. So we created the team project, and you're going to absolutely love this. And then you just get to navigate to it. And there you go. And you are now ready to work. And then we'll go through all those other things later after that. So let's go back to PowerPoint. But that was getting started. You went in, created your account. And then after you created your account, you went in and created your team project. At this moment, you're ready to go. Let's go through some slides, and then we'll come back, connect Visual Studio to it, show you a couple other stuff, and then you guys can tell me where we take the presentation after that, okay? So, one it is. You could ask me questions also through this PowerPoint part. So I want to begin by telling you a story about our transition from server to services. And the reason why I want to do that is because I think having that context about the past is really, and about our culture, is really important if you actually want to understand not only where we are today, but also where we're going in the future. So it is a transition, and I won't lie. It's a transition from the time that you say, I'm a box product, and I do things X, Y, and Z, to I am a service organization, and I do things, you know, A, B, and C. It's a complete different transformation. So for us, it started with a series of planning meetings. And back in probably it's 2008, 2009, around this thing that we call areas of darkness, okay? That was the actual theme of it. And to tell you the truth, like, that theme is really bad. Like, imagine me going to my wife, and she's like, what have you worked on today? I'm like, areas of darkness. And she'd be like, okay. So, and I'm like, yeah, that's how I felt too. But, and this areas of darkness was really this notion of really taking one, and when I mean one, I meant a server, one instance of what we call Team Foundation Server, and going ahead and making it into many. And many is what the cloud is today. And actually having it's not only the code, right? It's more than the code. The code, you have to do a couple of things. For example, I know we're getting way too technical, but at the application tier level, you're going to have to make it stateless. Okay, that's not that bad. Now you have to make it scale infinitely, and the same thing at your data tier level. So around 2010 is when we actually were able to go in and take all the code of TFS, go and transition to a cloud environment. And we did a demo. Brian Harry did a demo on, before we used to call what, PDC? Is that what it was? Yeah. So PDC 2010. We did a demo. This is kind of what it looked like at that moment, not as pretty as what you have today. I designed this one. Some other people designed the new one. So they're better than me at designing that screen. But it says sign up. Before we used to support Google, Yahoo, and other things. No, we no longer do today. We live Microsoft accounts specifically. And then you, same thing, you put an account URL, we had terms of services, and you got going. So, but okay, we did that transition. And architecturally, it took more or less, think about 2 years to actually go in and get all the code to TFS and make it very cloud aware. At that moment, actually, if we go back, this was running on Azure, by the way. Not only was it already cloud aware, but it was already running on what we call PaaS, or the platform as a service. This was not an IaaS play. And an IaaS, for you guys that don't know, is infrastructure, meaning you just borrow a machine and you install Team Foundation Server on it. Anyone can do that. Actually making it scale in a real platform, that was the challenge that took more or less 2 years. And a lot of customers enjoyed the benefit of those features because 2010 introduced something called collections, introduced the ability to have multiple collections, multiple application tiers for reliability and things like that. That was already the architecture that we had chosen. So, but architecture is really not enough, to tell you the truth. What we found out is that you actually have to rethink everything when you go and transition to a service. You have to rethink how you plan, how you code, how you actually go and test while you're coding, and how you ship. And all of those three things is what we have been doing since 2010 to when we actually went with general availability, I think last November at the last Build conference is when we announced it. That's what we have been doing on really truly embracing services. So you probably you guys have heard a lot about this thing called Build, Measure, Learn, or sometimes we also say think, build, measure, learn, because the thinking part some people don't do, and then they get in trouble. But that is really important. Now, not necessarily you don't have to adopt everything in that methodology or do what the book says, but the ability to actually have a continuous loop is really, really, really important. So, but it also kind of requires inspiration. I really like this quote by Vince Lombardi. He was a famous football coach. Because what we're trying to do right now, we ship every 3 weeks today, right? And yes, we're not perfect, but we're really trying to get to that point where even if we're not perfect, we have very, very high availability on the service. You know, 3 nines are our goals at any point in time. Even after we're rolling updates to you guys, we want your time off, the time of the service as it is perceived by the end user to be, you know, very, very minimal, less than a minute, hopefully, even though we're pushing significant updates all the time. So the next thing that you also have to do from an organizational perspective, you have to really stay true to your identity of why you want to be and how you want to accomplish those things. And yes, you know, it requires a lot of hard work to actually reach that end goal. So, which is what I just showed you today in that quick demo. So that is just to say that, yes, it only took me, I think, less than 20 seconds to create an account on a project and get it to you guys started. But there's a lot of work that goes behind actually providing a service. So if you guys are not only thinking about consuming cloud services but also doing some cloud services yourself, keep in mind that it's more than architecture. It's a lot significant more. It's also about process. It's also about how you keep your teams motivated. Because the new model of every, you know, 1 week, 3 weeks, or whatever model you want to on your shipping cadence requires a completely set of thinking, a completely set of people at times. So, okay, so I am done with my lecture on that. And here's more or less the way that we think about it in case you want to kind of copy us a little bit on that. So we kind of define what exactly we're doing. We have a product backlog like anyone else that is agile. We go in and develop. We have a tracking way to we have a set of tools that track that development time frame. We go in and push to production. That happens every 3 weeks. Then we have a lot of what you guys will call telemetry or analytics. We have a lot of analytics that we collect to try to see how the service is doing, how it's operating, who is actually failing commands, how many commands are failing, what we can do to work help our customers. And then we actually take all of that data together with comments from Twitter and other social media and things like that. And then we put them back as feedback, and then we start again. So that's more or less the way that, I live life every 3 weeks. So let's do a couple of demos. And then actually, before we do any demos, any questions on what we just said? Anything you guys are thinking on? Okay. What version was this? So so right now, the service doesn't have a version, to tell you the truth. So we call it, I don't know, I don't even know if we have a name of it. But Team Foundation Service is the name that we have. But a lot of the things that you're going to see today in the demos, you're actually going to see in the 2013 on-premise product. So whenever you go in and sign up for a new account, you will more or less be thinking that you're on the 2013 wave of the product. But as the service evolves every 3 weeks, you're going to get features that are not on the on-premise server. And vice versa, there's a set of features that actually are on the on-premise box that are not on the service. For example, one of those features is Code Lens. I don't know if you guys know what that is, but it was announced recently. It's pretty cool stuff, by the way. Code Lens is on-premise. It's not on the service yet. And for example, on the service, you could authenticate with Microsoft accounts or Windows Lab IDs. You cannot do that on-premise. We don't let you actually have that configuration. So it goes that way. So think about Team Foundation Service as not version specific, but it's going to be mainly rooted on a major release. In this case, it's 2013 right now. Yes, it says. So the question is, the template said preview. And yes, that's a good catch. That is because it hasn't shipped yet, those templates. Those templates are the ones that are in the Team Foundation Server 2013 preview. So our marketing team have fun having long names. So, but that's essentially why it says preview. Eventually, when they ship, you will see they're probably not with preview anymore, and then within probably 6 weeks, we'll change it and say preview again because we'll probably do some modification, and it's no longer the old one. So, or if not, we change version of it. So, good questions. What versions of Visual Studio support? I'll show you today, 2013, but it goes all the way back to Orcas, and Orcas is 2008. So 2008 can connect. It does require a UDR or some type of KB article, but it can connect to the service and interact with the service. A gentleman actually came before the talk to talk to me about compatibility issues, and one of the things that I told him was, in the new world of services, I have to be backwards compatible for a long, long time because I'm not going to be asking customers to constantly upgrade the Visual Studio or things like that. So expect that our compatibility story will remain very, very high against the service. So two or three releases before. We'll get to those later on then, what amount of space and things like that. Anything else service specific, and then we'll go into demos.
Yeah, I was just kind of wondering, like, your first 10-second demo there, what if you went, oops, I used the wrong Microsoft account. Is there a way to associate that with another account?
That's a good thing. So let's do that one right now, right? Before, you had to call me, literally. now, thankfully, you don't have to do that anymore. So you go into this little gear over here, right? And that little, should I increase resolution again, or is that that's good enough? Okay. So that gear right there, which emulates the gear over here, is really to say, hey, these are admin operations, okay? So you go to that admin operation, and it's going to tell get you here. You go then to the control panel. Right now, it took you to the administration area of demo one, and demo one was our project. This is the collection for those. Actually, how many know what a collection is? If not, I'll do a quick. Only a couple. Okay, so let me then put a little bit more into what the server is. So the server, both there's the on-premise one and the service. Whenever you actually install it, you get this thing called a collection. On the on-premise one, think about it as a database. That's where we actually put all of your data. And that's what you back up and restore is your administration unit to actually move it around, okay? That's what a collection is. Inside a collection, there's another entity called a team project, and that's where all of your ALM artifacts are rooted against. So there's teams at the team project, there's work items, version control, all of your ALM artifacts kind of go in there. And some of them also go at the collection level, like builds, because they could span multiple team projects. But think about a collection as a ring. In the on-premise, is really a database. On the service, it's not, because we're multi-tenant. So that means that I could have multiple collections in one single database on the service. And then inside of that, you have the project. So that's just really what it's happening here. So demo one is your project. Collection is just that ring of management. And if I go to control panel over here, this is kind of administer your account. Okay. So in administer your account, you could go to settings. And there's this thing over here that says account owner. And in here, you're going to be able to change who the account owner is. Right now, we have a bug, so don't click any of this. Okay? Don't get smart on it. If not, you will not be able to get in, and then you have to call me. Account owner is what allows you to do that. So it does mean that the other user needs to be already registered with Team Foundation Service for you to actually put and select them over there. But by changing the account owner, you're essentially doing that. Yeah, and then after that, you could remove him from any permissions that he has, and he's gone. So I won't do that right now because it will mess up my stuff. But if you need help with anything of that, tweet to me or put a thing on the forums, and we'll help you with that. It's really easy. So that's the way that you do it. And you could actually even change your account URL, right? So if you decide, hey, I took this, but that's not the name that I really wanted, I want to change it. Yes, all of your links are broken if you do that. So don't take that lightly. But you could go ahead, pick a new name, save it, and you got your new account name as well. So both of those things right now are self-service, which I'm really, really, really excited about. Okay. So let me just, actually, I wanted to go in here for a second. I wanted to, This is a feature that we call Team Rooms, and I want to show it to you later, but I wanted to give a shout out to the guys in Redmond. So let's say, team, say hi to the build attendees. And let's see if they say hi to you guys or not. They made this feature, and it's really, really cool, so I'm really excited, and I wanted to give them a shout out. But they'll probably get back to us later. So let's go back over here. So once I actually created a team project, for example, I could go in, and there you go. They replied back to us. Hello. So let's just give them a shout out. This mouse is driving me insane, guys. I'm very, very sorry. Okay. So when you go into, so I have already a project created. And if anyone has a better. Okay. Once you create a team project, you're going to be more or less in this homepage. And this homepage is going to go ahead and tell you some information about the service. So, for example, right now, there's up to 5 users that are free. For a limited time, all users are free. So if you have an account today and you have 100 users, lucky you. Everything is free. When we start charging, then you're going to have to trim some people out or unfriend them. So one of those two. But right now, they're all free. We don't have a data specific yet when we're actually going to turn on billing. We're transitioning towards that right now and make sure that we have a good model. But I get this question asked all the time, how much is it going to cost? And I cannot really answer that right now, but what I could tell you is it's going to be extremely competitive based on what is in the marketplace today. So if you look at any of our competitors, you're probably going to expect something very comparable to that for the same feature set that we will give you. So you have to match a little bit. And I'll get you to your question right now. So is that we do not have a cap today on the amount of data that you could put in. So you could upload your entire music library. I will actually find that out because I get an alert whenever you do that. And we will go and communicate with you to tell you that you're consuming way too much space. But for the most part, we're not actually having any hard limits on how much data you could actually put in the service. And a lot of people do not have used it. We only got a couple of people that have used it in the past, and then we just contact them, and then you know they take care of that. So again, 5 users, and I'll get back to your question. 5 users for free at all time, plus 5 users you're gonna be getting charged. If you're an MSDN subscriber, there's probably gonna be some thing for you to actually use this for free as well. And then past that, you're going to have to pay. And then no limits on the amount of resources like memory and things like that. So I'm trying to answer your question, so that's what I'm planning. So. Subscriptions, yes. So again, I cannot promise you anything, but usually people in MSDN get very, very, very good love from us, from all of the kind of platforms of Microsoft. So my guess is that you guys are also going to get extremely, either a very good deal or, you know, pretty much you could use this for free for an amount. So. No, it is not. It is 5 users per the entire account. It's not like you could go in and say, hey, this is 5, this is more 5. So it's for the entire account. But you could create many accounts if you want to do that. So if you want to actually milk us that way, you could do it. There's no problem. I mean, it's there. If it's legal, it's legal, you know. So what other questions really quick on that? The data that you store is stored in our servers, is the question. By our servers is a very...
My question is, what about some companies have guidelines
and security? Yeah. So I understand what you're saying. We store our data in Windows Azure data centers. That's what we use to store the data. So the data does not get stored on our servers. They get stored on the data centers that Azure manages. We're asking people to... we run Office 365 there, and all of our email and things like that get run in these data centers, right? In the same data centers. So they're very, very secure, you know? There's a set of guidelines that Azure has provided to our customers that details everything that they do to secure those data centers and secure the server. So like that, people cannot go in and, you know, steal information from it. But yes, they're stored on Azure. The majority of your sensitive data is stored on SQL Azure. If you want to be more specific on that, that would be the majority of where the data that is sensitive is stored. We today do not encrypt the data because it would be incredibly inefficient to actually do that. You will hate us because it would be really slow. So we do not have encryption. In the future, my guess is that for customers that are absolutely necessary, some banks, or let's say finance, some Department of Defense, and things like that, we'll probably offer eventually encryption of data at the back. So, but today it's not a thing that we offer. So it is unencrypted, but highly, highly, highly secure. That would be my.
CFS support continuous builds?
Yeah, we'll go and do that. We'll do that demo. That will be a good one. Okay, so I think we're stopped with anything else on users, licensing, and pricing? Okay, because I do want to answer some of those.
Active Directory support?
Active Directory support. You know, I wish, I've been saying this to my management and everyone, all the customers, I wish I had it like 10 years ago. I don't have it today, and it sucks, you know? I only have Windows Live ID, and we're working very, very, very hard to do it, and to make it in a story that is, that we could support on the enterprise level. So for those of you who don't know, Active Directory support. So today, if you have a company and have an Active Directory, you have a set of users. Well, it would be really nice if these users don't have to create Microsoft account or Windows Live accounts to, can someone shut the phone, please? Okay. It would be nice if they could just use that Active Directory identity and authenticate with the service, and that's it. I don't have to manage two separate identities and have to deal with those security problems. Plus, my Active Directory, I could go and say, you user, you have to type a password of 15 characters with one toe up. So in Windows Live ID, it's not the same. So that is the feature that he's requesting, and we're working very hard to actually get it to you guys. Active Directory Federation. So it is it's the ability to take your on-premise one and do that. The other one, since you alluded to that, the other one, my question might be, okay, I want to take Windows Azure Active Directory and federate it with TFS. That one is easier, you know? So we don't have it today either, but just imagine it's the same package. And we'll give it to you as one, because if we give it to you separate, people are going to get confused. So, okay. one more license, and then we'll go demo again.
Can you tag it?
I have no idea how licensing and marketing and all those things work. I'm in the product team, but I would say yes, because I want to sell you the product, so yes. They told me well, right?
Okay.
I told you. So yes, you, so today, no, because it's free, and it doesn't make sense for you to put in an EA, because EAs take, I mean, there's a lot of people that do those things and that have to sign. So it's not in the EA agreement today. In the future, just like Team Foundation Server, Visual Studio, and your SQL license, once you buy the whole ALM package, you put it in your EA agreement, you will probably be able to do the same over here. So I would expect the same level of support. Now, when is that? I have no idea, so don't go and tweet about it. Okay, so let's go and do a demo, and then we'll do a couple more quick answers of things. Okay, so right now I'm in my homepage, okay? And in my homepage, what I get to see is a little bit of the Agile project management experience. So over here, I see my sprint one from June 24 to June 30. These people are operating in one-week sprints. I see my burden. I don't have anything there yet. I also see some of the activities that I could take over here. I could view my backlog. I could add members. So adding members is really easy. So I could just go over here, say add user. Let me just add Jamie Cool. This is my boss. And Microsoft.com, actually, it is more. I don't even know if this person exists or not, but we could even do that. Okay, there you go. So you add someone just like that. They today do not get a notification. So we'll solve that eventually very quickly too. But today you're going to have to go and email them yourself and say, hey, I added you to this project. Now you have access to it. But just do that. You could remove them right from there after that. And that's it. So there's these tabs over here. And those are, we call more or less hubs is what we call them. I'm sorry, you guys cannot see me over there. But there's code, work, build, and test. You see this little asterisk on top of this thing? That means those features are in preview. And really, that's all we're trying to tell you is, if you use this feature and depend on it, eventually we're going to charge you for it. So make sure that you use it and you understand that you're going to get charged eventually for it. Now, if you stay away from the little asterisk, you're safe forever on those things. Because those things usually will stay free for a long time. Okay? So build, for example, will probably be meter. You're going to get n amount of bills or so many hours. I don't know what it is. And test is load testing. Will probably be meter eventually as well. So let's go really quick to work. And in work, I'm going to get my Agile project management experience. Now, this is the part of the demo that if you do this on-premise, it's the exact same thing as on the service. There's really nothing new in here. So really think about this as being the on-premise version, and the service are exactly the same thing. So over here, features are in preview. Here's my backlog. I could add a new one. This is actually, I want to do something demo. So I just did that, and I added a feature. And I, just like any backlog, it's cool that I could go in and rearrange the priority. So my demo app is lower priority than everything else that is there. I could create a query out of this. I could choose my column options. So if I want to see, for example, what would be a good thing, assigned to, I guess. I go to assigned to, and then I could see it. Let me move it up a little bit, maybe down there. Kind of refresh, and there's assigned to. So you could even go ahead and send the backlog query as an email. So you just click over here, show it to you, and you just put the email address. Actually, you have to put a valid name. You know why we did this? Because then people start spamming other people. So you actually have to put someone that we know inside of TFS. You cannot just put like Bill Gates at Microsoft.com and you'll send him your backlog. So someone did that. So why do you think I have the feature? So here it is. He was very, very appreciative of it, though. OK, so that's that. The other cool thing that you could do over here is you could manage. And I'm sorry, this thing keeps popping out. I don't know what is happening with it. The other thing that you have over here is these features and backlog items. Right now, I'm in features, but I could actually do something very cool and say, you know what? I plan at the feature level, but there's going to be some user stories on some backlog items in this process template, and there's just going to be some tasks underneath, right? So I could actually go all the way to features to tasks in that filter, and that's going to go in and show me again the backlog with this hierarchy. So now I could see, oh, look, with this, I have this user story. And then for to-do app, I have all of these other ones. And then for the boat app, I have these ones. I don't have any tasks yet, but I could add one really quick. I could just go over here, hit this humongous plus button, and then I'll say this is my first task. And then I just save and close. And if Windows 8 cannot do that anymore. And there you go. Now you get to see your tasks as well over here. So pretty cool stuff. So you could do all your planning from features to backlog items to tasks. You could see it in all in one view, rearrange some stuff with the appropriate things. So I could even go to backlog items and just see the backlog items if I want to, and then rearrange this, bring this one lower as well. And then over here, again, I have the same possibility of saying I want to see all the way to features, and I don't want to see any tasks. All I want to see is my parents, right? And then I also want to go ahead and see, you know, to tasks. And then that will look down and only show me my backlog items and then the task underneath that. So another cool thing, so this is just the normal kind of planning phase. You could also have Kanban from within here too. So board is what gives you a Kanban view. So if you like a Kanban view, you could come over here and take, okay, these are my features and the app home screen with demo choices, that is done. Actually, I could even show you that. I created this kind of app for the previous talk where you could choose your, you know, a to-do app where you could go ahead and type things here. Hello. And another one that allow you to vote on what you like better, Git or Team Foundation Server version control. You guys can use this if you want to. It would be really neat to get feedback from you guys. Okay, let's go back over here. So I already did that, actually, so I could put that done. Just like that, I just drag and drop. Again, my boat app is over here, my to-do app is over here, and my demo app is over here, too. So I could even customize the columns, which I think is really, really neat. I could go in and say, you know what? I have to add something to verify in prod. You know, because, yes, I'm done with the feature, but I'm not really done. Production is really the ultimate test, right? So I could go in here and say my KPI is 10. Actually, let's put 20, not that it matters right now because we're not doing any work. Still in progress. And say, okay, now you're going to see. Now it's going to be hard to see, but you have in progress, you have verify in prod, and I could go and take that over here. So that's our Kanban view. You get that at all of the levels. You get it at the features. You also get it at the backlog items. And what you'll notice is it is completely different. Yes, it is on purpose that way, because the way that you manage features from a Kanban perspective is going to be completely different than you manage, for example, your backlog items in Kanban. So in Kanban, your backlog items will go through new, approved, committed, and done, for example. And that's the way that is on the process template today. And then we could go all the way down to the sprint. And this is what we're doing this sprint. And really the way that we have thought about sprints is really about task management. You're not going to be able to actually do any management of the feature or the user story. In this case, the backlog items is what it's called. It's really about tasks. So they make it really easy for you to actually go ahead and enter a task. So let me see if I do this really quick so you see it. Task for Azure account. And this is work item tracking on the web, in case you guys haven't seen it. It looks much better than on-premise if it's not zoomed into 10,000 zoom level. So over here, I created a task. I could put it from to-do to in progress. And then after that, I could declare victory and have it as done, just as easy as that. Okay? So you could also do your capacity planning. You could start adding people over here and say, you know what? My capacity per day is going to be 10 hours. And then Will is a slacker. He works minus one. He actually doesn't let me do that, so okay, he works 8 then. And activity, I am, what should I do? I should do design. And then Will is going to do development. Okay, there you go. Days off, even though I work 10, I'll take always a day off. Ooh, it tells me, isn't it cool? Okay, so you could actually say in there, I'm going to be on vacation from this day to this day, and it gets calculated in the capacity planning. So I'm not going to do that. And then over here, you could see it right there, that my team has 54 hours of capacity. 30 hours for design, 24 hours for development, and you do that. So typical project agile management stuff. So I'm going to stop here and take some questions on this work item. Actually, before I do that, I'm sorry. I want to stay on this page. You want me to save something, this. All right. And then I want to go to queries. So I do want to show queries. So queries is a way that you could actually ask questions of the version of the work item tracking system. It's very easy to create a query. You just go say new query, okay? And then over here, you're going to go in and apply some filters, and it's going to come in. So for example, I want to see any bugs. So work item type is bug, and I don't want to see, actually, yeah, let's put it any in active. And I could run this, and I know it's going to be hard for us to see. I think it said zero, yeah, return zero result. And then we could put any, and then it's, hopefully it says one. There you go. So it's a way for you to do queries. You have, again, same capability in Team Foundation Server. Nothing new here. Everything I'm showing you is in Team Foundation Server 2013, okay? So this is the way that you do that. Again, you have column options on these queries, and you could save them. So this little band-aid tells me, let's say these are what, bugs in my queries. So I click OK, and now I see all of the bugs in my query. So I just have to double-click it, and then it will show in the results view. And there you go. That's my bug right there. The list does not ask for user confirmation. So that is that. You could also, from over here, also create bugs, features, impediments, and anything else that is a work item per se. The last thing that I want to show you, because I think it's really cool, is this feature, which is, let's do some pruning here. Effort, I don't care how long it takes, and we don't care that about that. Okay, last feature I want to show you in work item tracking is tags. And tags is a way, because we don't allow you to customize the process template, it's a very quick way for you to actually go ahead and customize it. You just want to add a new field and just put a string in it, that's what you do. So you go into a work item. In this case, let's go over here to this one. Over here on the top, I could add, let's say, build demo. And that's it. So that's a way to quickly go ahead and tag your work items. And you don't have to create new fields or anything like that. From right here, the cool thing is that you could actually go ahead and filter them. So I could go in and say to-do app. There's 9 of them. I just filter my entire backlog by the to-do app and things like that. So I'll take a couple more questions, and then I want to do a code and build demo. And then we'll take it from there. Yes. Oh, yeah. I did that myself. There's a set date on the sprints, and then you could actually go ahead and define them. So you click on it. I know it's not very intuitive, but you click on it, and then you see this. Then you see the start date and the end date, so you could change that to be anything you want. That's a good question. It's weird that they're not.
Our process has it. I don't
know. Yeah, so we let you. So we let you. It's weird, but we let you. Okay, so let's, any other questions about work item tracking? No question about, okay. So let's show then a quick connect to the service from Visual Studio. Let's see if we do an application, check it in, and then enable hosted build. And then after that, I'll take more questions, okay? Is that good? All right, so let's go to Team Foundation. Actually, let's start a new one. Visual Studio 2013. By the way, you can now sign in, and actually it roams your profile settings, which is really cool. So you can sign in from one computer. So let me show it to you really quick what it looks like. Mario Ron. You're signed in, and then it's going to show a picture over there. Now, if I make any modifications on my settings in this Visual Studio, and I go to another machine and sign in there, it's going to actually go and put all our profile information in it, so it roams it. And we're going to be doing a bunch of other roaming information as well. So there we are. I'm going to go into Team Explorer. I'm going to go into this little connect thing over here. I don't know if you guys can see it very well. But this is a new page in Team Explorer. And it shows you more or less your connections. Shows you some local Git repositories. And then it shows you the server and some of the team projects that you have defined in there. So the one that we did, let's select team projects. Do you guys remember what was the one that we created? I forgot. I know it's here somewhere. BLD Win13. Okay. So you come over here, and I know this sucks because this UI is from 2003 or something like that. But you come over here and you say servers, and then in servers you said add, and then you had to type the name. So it was BLD Win13, right? That visualstudio.com. And that's it. We went and said, okay, we know what that is. We put HTTPS in front of it as well. And then you click OK. It's going to ask you to sign in. This is only in the preview. In the RTM version, it automatically uses SSO with the identity that you're signing into the IDE. So it becomes really nice. But right now, it's requiring you to sign in. MSN.com. And then so when you do that, it is there. Now, unfortunately, you have to hit close, which is not very intuitive again, but give us a break on that. We'll change this. And here's the project that we created. You click connect, and we will connect you to it. So, and that's it. That's all it takes to connect. You're going into the little connect dialog, say selecting projects, add your server, okay? Type in the name of the server, click add, close, connect, and you're in your project now. So over here, this is Team Explorer. You could configure your workspace. This is a new getting started experience. Very, very neat. I wish I would have shown this in the Git demo that we did today in the AM session. But right now, you hit configure, and then it tells you, okay, where do you want me to put this? Yes, I want you to put it in that demo one, map and get, and I'm set up with my workspace now, and I'm ready to work as a developer. Okay, that was that easy. You just go in, configure, map and get, and you're done. So over here, the same thing. I could go to, for example, work items. And I'm going to see the query that we, where is it? It's supposed to, oh, no, it was in the other one. It was on the Boat app. We didn't create any query on this one. So from over here, you could do the same thing that I showed you on the web. You could create new queries and things like that. If I go back to home, I could interact with my pending changes and Search Control Explorer. So this is what we wanted to see really quick. So let's add a new file, new project. What type of project you guys think we should use? ASP.NET Web App? Don't put it in there. Put it in the new one. Browse. Let's go browse really quick. Why is it not showing up here? Let me. Okay, this is it called Mario Rod Source Workspaces Demo. Okay, that's where we need to go and look for it. So again, let's do that. Project. SP1 application. Browse. I have to go into Mario Rod, so that would be on. Here, users, and source. I'm just trying to put it in the right place, guys. Demo one. Okay, we're going to put it there. Select a folder. That folder is good. Web application one is good for you guys. And we're going to go in and select create directory for solution and add to source control. And I'm going to click OK. What is it telling me to do? MVC is okay with me. And I don't want any tests right now. And then create project. It's going to go create it and add it to source control. And then I'm going to show how easy it is to actually hook it up with hosted builds so you could have continuous integration running on the cloud. So it's already there. Add it to source control. I'm going to go to pending changes really quick. And I'm going to check in the solution. Over here, too, in case there's any developers in the audience, you could actually switch this to list view if you don't like the tree view. So, and not only that, you could even go ahead and unpin it from here. So you could detach it from Team Explorer, something that a lot of people wanted to do. So check in. We checked in those 328 items at the speed of light. And while it's after it does that, we're going to go and configure the build. And then we're going to have that build run, and I'm going to show it to you. Okay, perfect. One more. Okay, so I was changed at 5. I go back to home, and then I go to builds, okay? Double-click on builds, and I'm going to create a new build definition. I say new build definition. I'm going to type in, I don't want to call it NAT. I want to call it CI Web App. It's the way that I'm going to enable it. Let me put this a little bit more. Okay, I'm going to go ahead and you could set your triggers. Right now, I want continuous integration. So every check-in, it's going to go ahead and do it. So source settings, what is actually going to go ahead and map, and your build defaults is a hosted build controller. That's how you select it. It's only that option right now because you're connected to the hosted service. Process, it says the application, and then the retention policy. So I'm going to save this. Okay, and we just saved it. Now, I could ask it to run it right now. I could go and say queue new build. And this is actually going to go ahead and queue this. So I'm going to say queue, and it's going to have it there. If I go back to the website, and I think it was here, right? Yes. So if we go to build, you're going to see it here as queued. And there you go. We just queued it. And if I go to code, you're going to see all the code that we checked in. Right from the web as well. You could do history, like if I want to see, you know, who actually did this. Of course, it was us right now. You could see it was me and what the check-in was. You could jump in into the check-in. So all the things that you could do from Visual Studio, more or less, you also could do it. A lot of them you could do in here. You cannot edit the code and check it in from here, but a lot of the other things you could do, which is really, really neat. So here's the build. It's going to hopefully not complete yet. So it's running. I could double-click it. And then it tells me, you know, it triggered, and it hasn't run yet, so it hasn't gotten picked up yet by the build controller. As soon as it gets picked up, then it will run it and execute it. So I'll pause there while this thing goes through, and I'll take questions. There you go. Started running right now. So I showed you the encode and build, and then there's another talk going on test in another place, but don't leave. Go. And you do automated downloads after you do a build. What do you mean by that?
Well, instead of, you know, I'm doing this continuous integration.
Yes.
Or I do nightly build.
Yes.
Can I have it, say, sent to my FTP?
Yeah, yeah. You can send it to your Dropbox or whatever you want to call it. Yeah. Or your SkyDrive or anything.
Where do you send that? You
said
that in the
build? Yeah, build definition, yeah. Yeah. You have to edit that build definition to get that type of functionality. So. If I say no, that's not nice. So I'm going to say yes. It is going to scale for us. But to really be truthful, it is a challenge, right? Because people like building a lot, especially when you make it this easy, where it's like 5 clicks and now you have a CI story and now you don't have to have any machine or anything like that. People like doing it. There's a customer, we had to send him an email. He was doing 70,000 file downloads of the build. So the build was mapping 70,000 files. I don't know what this person is doing, like code development, but that team is really good. 70,000 files, and he was having a check-in, I think, every, I don't know, 2 minutes. So like he did, I think it was 128 million requests in a period of a week. So, or more than that. So we had to tell them, please do not do that. So, but yes, things like that will make it not scale. So what we need to really do is get a lot better, and to tell you the truth, about request governance and limits and things like that. Clearly, when we start charging you, that person was not going to do that anymore. Either that or he declares bankruptcy. So, but that would kind of limit, but that's not really the good story either. So any other questions? We don't have much time. Yes?
When will CodeLens
work with this? I don't think I could actually answer that question. My guess is whenever they think they're ready. To make it work. CodeLens, To build the information CodeLens actually needs is very, I wouldn't call it expensive, but it does require a different set of thinking of how you actually go and do that in a multi-tenant environment. And that's the thing that we need to solve. So it's a technical thing that we need to solve for us to enable it. And that's why we haven't done it. While on-premise, it's very easy because there's only one host, right? And it doesn't really matter. But on the cloud, you have to be really concerned security and your multi-tenant model and the ability to scale that multi-tenant model. So that's what we're thinking about right now. But we should get there. No, we do not have. So the question is, do we have import today? And the answer is no. We have lazy import, which means you check out all of your code, and then you could go ahead and, but you lose history on all those things. There's no import today. Yeah, so offline mode, so clearly it doesn't work offline, right? So the way that, so we have two features. If it is version control, it's really easy. If it is something like WorkAtom, you can't. There's no way to do it. But in version control, we have two features. One of them is called local workspaces, okay? Which is what by default happened here. I'll show it to you really quick. So if I go to my source control explorer, and I click over here, and I clicked on my workspace. I know, it's like 20 clicks. This thing that says local, that employs a thing that is called edit commit. So you could edit all the files all the way you want, even if I unplug this thing from here. And then whenever you're ready to come back online, you come back online. We detect all the files that changed. Automatically, it has been happening. And then you commit. Or you could actually employ Git. So and Git is a fully distributed model, offline all the time if you want to be and continue to work on that. That would be the way that I would do it if I was you. So, question over there. Tell me, and then you, okay?
How many build agents does it come out of
one? So you don't get to control that on the service. You just tell me I want to build, and that's it. And then we employ from 1 to 700. To build what we need to build. But you don't get control. You just tell me what you want to build, and then I'll go and do it. So.
Is there going to be like a limited view for logging bugs, like for business users that don't need full access?
Yeah, so the question is there going to be some view that is only for bugs? So in Team Foundation Server 2010, I believe, we introduced this thing that was the WorkAtom only view, and it was this special security setting that you had to enable. I think there's going to be something very similar to that over here, too, by the time we go public, if it's not already there. I'm not too familiar with that feature, to tell you the truth, but I do know there is, I guess we could go and look at it really quick and see if we could find it, but there's a way in the settings, there's some place in the settings where you could actually go and say, hey, this user can only do this thing, and I don't remember how to do it right now, so if you give me your car or something, I'll find out from the team that owns that. And then I'll show it to you. It's a little bit hidden because it's not main path.
Is the client
connectivity HTTP based? It's a client connectivity HTTP based. What do you mean by that? It's through actually HTTPS.
Okay.
It's SSL. So. Okay. Any other questions? And I didn't get to show you Team Room, but I do want to actually do that really quick. If you go, what would be the best way to do it from here? If you go to home. And you go here, it says Team Room. Team Room is a cool feature. It's essentially is what it is, a kind of place where the members of your team go in, and then you could type like we were doing before. So for example, if we go back to the collab, you see Lori saying, hi, Mario. And you could see over here all of the, you could set it up to give you the events of your team. So this bug, Justin Mark just resolved it. And because he's on this team, it shows up over here. This person changed his user story. What else do you see? You see, how's the talk going? It's going great. What else can we see that is interesting? You can see, as Shane said, you can see the builds that are happening. So it really becomes this activity stream of your team. And then you could have everyone involved over there instead of an email. And then it becomes really, really powerful. Because I could click things over here and get to the information with one click. which is really nice, and then go back. So the way that you configure that, let me see if we could do that really quick. We were in some place. Okay, so here's that. You could go in and say manage events. And in manage events, you could go and select the build definition. So if we go over here, I don't know if we have one configured. Yeah, CI build. So right now, it's going to trigger every time this happens. Code changes by any room member in the Vote app. Work item updates, again, in that project by any room member underneath an area path. You could configure this if you need to. And then code reviews. So essentially, it's telling you everything what everyone is doing, so they can no longer hide from you. So save and close. And then when you do that, it configures all of that, and those things are going to start popping in over here. And that's what is Team Room, and we're very, very excited about this. I mean, there's competitors on this. We didn't invent this, okay? But we're going to actually make it better than anyone else. So we're excited about that one. What other feature are we missing that I should give you? I think I ran out of time. So any other questions? Last question, and then after that, we could call it a day.
Can non-TFS users enter bugs?
Can non-TFS users enter bugs? Like meaning like anonymous access? No, not today. So one more over here there was.
The team room, can you get like an audit trail report out of that?
What do you mean by audit trail report?
One of the things that we have traceability.
Yeah, so I got your question. So it doesn't allow you to there's no way to say, hey, I want an audit report from this day to this day. But eventually, I think that will be a feature that will be easily implemented by that, right? Because we're keeping all the information. So. Yeah, exactly. So that's a good feature request. Thank you, sir. Okay, that is it. Thank you very much, guys.